is the Holy Ghost within. I love that man from Galilee.
One more time.
I love that man from Galilee. Oh, son, so very much for me. He's forgiven all my sins. Praise the Holy Ghost within. Let's give him a big hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. You glad to be in church in the middle of the week, Wednesday night? I tell you what, this weekend was, I don't know if I have words to describe it, but we were certainly seated in heavenly places together. Amen. But this is another night, another service, Wednesday night, and so we want to come together and put all we have into it. Don't let somebody else do your worshiping for you. Amen. And have Brother Harry sing some more of this. Lead us in it. Let's just worship together with him as we sing this. I love that man from Galilee. He's done so very much for me. Amen.
I know it's really so. A babe was born to save him from her sin. John saw him on the shore, the Lamb forevermore. Oh, Christ the crucified of Calvary. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. He's done so very much for me. He's forgiven all my sin. Place the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. The publican went to pray in the temple there one day. He cried, oh Lord, be merciful to me. He was forgiven of every sin and had peace placed within. He said, come see this man from Galilee. Oh, that man from Galilee. He's done so very much for me. He's forgiven all my sins. Place the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee.
Amen. I want to welcome everyone to service this evening. We have a couple of announcements I'd like to read to you first, and then we have quite a few prayer requests here we want to read. As a trustee meeting right after church, for those trustee members there, a trustee meeting right after church, and this one is No Church Wednesday, March the 23rd. The buses will be here to pick up the youth for Louisiana camp. Amen. Brother Terry, I'm going to have you come lead us in prayer. We'll read our prayer request here. We have quite a few here, so if you just bear with us here a few moments, and some are very urgent prayer requests. Please pray for my friend Amy. She needs a miracle for her healing. And Brother Lewis Lars, son is very sick. I want to remember him in prayer. Prayer request for Sister Ruth Pascal. She's from West Virginia, and she's very sick. Beckley, West Virginia. Josh and Kimberly Dixon and the kids have strep throat. We want to remember them in prayer this evening. Just a lot of sickness going around right now. This has come in on the Internet. Please continue to remember my wife in prayer. Says she's needing a move of God to heal her completely. She's been in emergency rooms and specialists, and she's not able to eat or drink properly since her operation back in October. She's not able to have strength to take care of her children. The doctor thinks she has gastritis. She's been through a lot of medicines, and the prescriptions are working. She needs a miracle. Been missing a lot of work since the operation. Please remember this before the Lord. And this is from Brother Moyer. Another prayer request, Brother Bruce Hackett. And this brother's from Manitoba. This has been diagnosed with two tumors on his brain. They've been causing some serious symptoms in his body. The doctors have urgently recommended surgery to remove them. Brother Hackett and his wife are believing God for a healing. Unless the Lord moves for our brother, they must soon make a decision for surgery. Brother Amos turned that request in. Brother and Sister Baker are sick and need prayer. This is the Overbay family's house burnt down today. Randy Walton turned this request in. I want to remember that family in prayer. Please pray for Jason Carrier. He has a mass on his brain stem, but also an autoimmune disease that they can't figure out what it is. He has a family and can't work. Brother and Sister Maxwell turned that in. This is for Brother Jerry Glenn. He's at home not feeling well due to a wisdom tooth extraction today. I want to remember him in prayer. Let's stand together. How many has a need on your heart that you'd like to make known with an uplifted hand? Brother Terry, would you come and lead us in prayer this evening as we go to the Lord?
So glad to be in church again tonight. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Lord Jesus, what a privilege it is to be back in the house of God. Father, as we see the hour approaching, we realize that this is such a great hour of illumination when this is gross darkness upon the earth. And there just seems to be such a void, a null, and a lull, if you will. But yet, there's still in the heart of the bride, the revival's going on. The prophet said, never lose your enthusiasm for the coming of the Lord. And Father, the darker it gets, is it pressing on the day before the rising of the sun, naturally speaking, and it gets darker and more dense. But yet, through that, Lord, we know that there's coming a wonderful resurrection. Even this Easter time, maybe it could be our final resurrection day, that first resurrection. We don't know, but we know it's certainly soon. But Father, we're making preparation, and that's what we're desiring, Lord, as we come to the house of God. Each time, it's like going to school. We learn more. We see what you'd have us to do, what our assignments are, what our focus in life, our purpose in life, recognizing who we are. Lord, it's going to take faith. It's going to take rapture in faith to get us out of here. Lord, we know that we're not servants, but we're children. We're sons and daughters of God. We thank you for the word of God that's been brought, Lord. It's such illumination upon the word that's been given to us. We're thankful. And these requests, each one that was, they've been read, they've been, we're praying over them now. I believe that there's faith in the building. I know each one of them, Lord, they're serious, and each one of them has a desired result. And I believe, dear God, if we take it upon our hearts and we all pray collectively, you want to put 1,000 flat, 10,000, we believe, Lord, that there's faith in the building. And I pray to God that there'll be testimonies for each one of these requests, because you said, ask abundantly that your joys might be full. If you abide to be in my words, abide in you, just ask what you will. Ask anything in my name, I'll do it. There's so many promises in the word of God. You just said one thing, can you believe? All things are possible if we can only believe. I pray that you'll just anoint the rest of the song service, anoint Brother Donnie as he comes to minister the word of God. We're so enjoyed these messages for months and months on the lives of the prophets. Lord, it's been a wonderful understanding. A wonderful understanding to show, even though the humanity of man, yet the Spirit of Christ can dwell in a man. And the things that we have learned has just been tremendous. Lord, I pray that you receive our thanksgiving tonight. Bless the service. All is done and said. Heal each one. We'll give you praise for it. And Lord, when the service is over, we can surely say in our heart, did not our hearts burn within us as he talked to us along the way. Bless your children tonight. Heal each one of these that's requested in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. If the brothers had come at this time, we'd like to receive the offering. I'd like to sing together a couple of songs and worship this evening. This world is not my home. Amen. I'm believing that more and more every day as I look around and see the corruption and the politics and the systems of the world and the morals. This world is not my home. Amen. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angel beckoned me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angel beckoned me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. I fixed it up with Jesus, oh, many years ago. And I know He'll see me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what would I do? The angel beckoned me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just over in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. The song of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angel beckoned me, it's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angel beckoned me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'm gonna fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. Joy will Amen. Just before we change the order of the service, we don't have a song special, so Brother Harry's going to have a special, and we're going to help him with it. Brother Harry, let's sing "I Would Not Be Denied." Amen. Is that all right? Is that your testimony tonight? I would not be denied. As we come in before the Lord now, we don't know. It may not be like Sunday, but I'll tell you one thing. It'll be just what we need.
Amen.
Amen. I would not be denied.
When pangs of death seized on my soul, unto the Lord I cried. Till Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied.
I guarantee if any of us needed to go into the White House tonight, we would be denied access. You went to the state capital of Tennessee, more than likely you'd be denied access. To go into NASA, you'd be denied access. But there's one thing about coming in the presence of God. We have been made accepted in the Beloved. We cannot be denied access. Glory. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm still wiping the slobbers off my mouth from Sunday, Saturday. Amen. The Lord was so gracious to us, wasn't he? So wonderful. So wonderful. It took me probably 4 hours or so after the service to come back to myself. I just felt like at any time I was going to leave this place Sunday. Amen. I so appreciate his grace to us. Let's turn tonight to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Again, we'll resume the song of Moses. One of his last commissions before God is going to take him from the earth and prophetically heaven to set forth the future of Israel. what they're going to become. Remember, this is covered over many, many years of the span of time that this prophecy goes. It must have been heartbreaking to this prophet to see all that God had done for them and to see where that they, by their own choice, would wind up going. Now listen to the words of God. I will heap mischiefs upon them. I will spend mine arrows upon them. They shall be burnt with hunger and devoured with burning heat and with bitter destruction. I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them with the poison of the serpents of the dust. The sword without and terror within shall destroy both the young man and the virgin, the suckling, also and the man of gray hairs. I said I would scatter them into corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. You say, why, Brother Donnie? One simple thing. Free moral agency. This is not predestination. God never ordained this to happen. This is what free moral agency does to you when you don't line it up with the Word. Praise the Lord. Now you see, being elect, God won't, grab you by the nape of the neck. You're going to serve me. You're going to live for me. No, if you don't want to, He's not going to make you. He'll whoop the forehead of you. I said, He will whoop you. That's right. This is what their choice got them into. God never wanted them to be brought in such a spot. And may I say the same for us. God never ordained a one of us to be cold. God don't never ordain none of His children to be indifferent. Never be caught up in habits and addictions and things. Never. That's not God's will. Your own choice will take you there. But God doesn't. Let's pray together. Heavenly, I'd like to be remembered tonight before the Lord. Me too. I've been sick the last couple of days. I desire your prayers tonight. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful, Lord Jesus, to know that You are a God of love. Oh, we see it so much on the church signs and all kinds of signs and billboards. God is love. God is love. God is love. I'm so glad I know a little more about the Bible than just that one verse. Because I know our God is also a consuming fire. And I know our God is a just God. I know our God is so many things. And I thank You that You're love. But I also thank You, You are holy. And You demand justice from Your people. You demand right type of living. And Lord, I'm grateful that You're that way. I pray tonight, Father, that You would help us. It's sad for us, Lord, as we read these things and we look into them historically and see how they came to pass exactly as You said. But yet, we're grateful in one sense that You had it written in the Word so we would be able to learn. It would be an admonition to us that we would see, even though we might be the called of God, the elected of God, we can still get in trouble. Abraham was called, but he got in trouble. There again, it was his own choice that got him there, not You. So help us, I pray, Father. You saw the needs of Your children that were uplifted tonight, Father. You know each request. I'm asking You tonight to be mindful of me tonight, Lord. Just speak to our hearts from Your Word. We give You praise and thanksgiving for it in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Now, we believe according to what God's given us in His Word that He has laid out a path, a desired position for His people to walk into. He had already prophesied to them by this very same prophet that if you'll obey me, I'll do this and this and this and this. But if you don't obey me, then I'll do this and this and this. Now, God knew ultimately what they would choose. He knew that it would be many, many hundreds and hundreds of years to where that it would come to the culmination of all of this. But He knew that all down through this ages and generations that there would be some people that by their choice, they would refuse to harmonize with the rest of what the people were doing. Now, you imagine they were an odd, peculiar people. Because most of the children of Israel in the time of Babylon, they went right to Babylon. They assumed the customs of Babylon. They ate like the Babylonians. They talked like the Babylonians. They dressed like them. But there was a few people down there, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, a few more. They were Jews too, but they refused to look like them, act like them, dress like them, because they felt like they wanted to be different. God ordained them all to be different. But part of them chose to override the ordination of God, and they chose to go the way they wanted to so it would take pressure off of them. Now you imagine it was a great deal of pressure to look like a Jew and not look like a Babylonian, to look like a Persian, or to look like some of the others and the countries and the nations where God scattered them. So to take away part of that reproach, they simply would take on the attire of a Babylonian or a Chaldean or whatever more, and it would take part of that conspicuous view away from them, and people wouldn't actually know who they were. So if they would talk like a Babylonian, dress like a Babylonian, act like a Babylonian, who had to know you was a Jew? You would just practice your religion at home and nobody would know anything about it. I hope you understand that spirit ain't dead. That's what a lot of so-called Christians are doing today. They want to look like the world, act like the world, talk like the world, and then the world don't know that they're not the world. Praise the Lord. But if we're real Christians, we want to be like what the Lord wants us to be. Now, your God is actually telling them of several dispensations by which this scattering will happen. Notice again now in verse 26. And I said, I would scatter them into corners. Notice, into corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. Now, this is exactly opposite of the blessing of what God wanted them to be and what God wanted them to have. Now, keep in mind the parallel that's going to run between the children of Israel, of the parallel between the children of Israel and the church, and also, let's bring it on over into the bride elect, how that God has a plan, a divisive plan of what he wants for his children, and then he'll place that before you, but much of it will be obtained upon how much that you will be able to place your feet in the inheritance of your land, because footprints means possession. Now, God wants his children to have peace, joy, happiness, health, blessings, all kinds of things, but that does not mean just because you are a child of God that it will automatically come to you. But it is synchronized with the release of your faith. And as much as your faith can be released, that's how much possession you'll have. Not sonship, but how much possession you will have. You can be a son or daughter of God and be as poor spiritually as you can be. Absolutely a son or daughter of God, your name written down in heaven, filled with the Holy Ghost, and yet ain't I got nothing at all when it comes to the spiritual goods of what God wants you to have. Because then we're looking at a different thing. That's where it comes to our faith and where we rise to the level that footprints actually means possession. Now when we look at that, we know the parallel runs to the book of Joshua, which covers a time span of 26 years. At the end of the book of Joshua, the children of Israel still have not obtained all the promised land. The promised land was God's ordination of what he wanted them to be. God gave them the boundary from this sea to over here, to over there, to over there. They never did get that boundary. Never did. They never obtained that boundary. As a matter of fact, you find the book of Judges that the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Dan, they begin to compromise and they let this bunch of Canaanites live, and the tribe of Joseph let this bunch live and that bunch live, and before long they was losing less and less ground that was theirs, and they was looking more and more like the world. They never did obtain the full inheritance of the promised land. So look at the promised land as being God's ordination for their walk. But their own possession now individually would depend upon how much they'd go. God ordained the 2.5 tribes to be on the other side of the river. And what did they do? They settled for the other side of the river, contrary to the word, which was not even in the boundaries of the promised land. God's choice, their choice. That's what free moral agency does for you sometimes. It'll make you settle for less. Oh yeah, I want this. I don't want that. It ain't worth it. It ain't worth fighting. Why should I be that kind of Christian when I can just go to church, you know, whatever, and do whatever I want to do? And God won't make you if that's the kind of child you want to be. I know some of you ain't going to say amen to this, but some of you's probably got, if you got more than one child in your home, maybe you got one or two children that's real industrious. My, you can tell them to go do this and that, and they'll go do this and that plus something else because they say it needs to be done. And then you may have another one or two or four or five. and you tell them over and over and over again, and they still won't do it, and instead of picking it up, they throw the stuff under the bed, and they hide it, and they do it this way and that way and the other. Are they still your children? They are still your children. Will you reward them as much as you do the others? You're a nut if you do. Let me tell you that. You need to penalize them or they don't do what you tell them to do. And it's the same way with God. If God has children that look at the perimeter of their individual promised land and they say, I want every bit of that land that belongs to me, and they're not happy till they get it. And then he's got other children and they look at, well, really, I don't know if I want that or not. I'm not sure it's worth it. Look at what all you gotta go through. Then you know what they'll do? They'll settle right down, and God will penalize them in many ways. Sometimes it's their health. Sometimes it's a lack of revelation. Sometimes they'll struggle on revelation of certain things when those others is just obtaining it right and left. And God is rewarding them according to their zeal and according to the possession which they themselves have made up. I'm not going to settle for anything less than what's mine. And then you'll find others that, well, I don't understand this. And Brother Donnie's probably, I don't understand that. I just can't understand it. I can't understand this. You know, you find with many folks, that's a pattern. And you watch in their walk with God, and you'll see spiritually in their walk with God, they're not really where they need to be. And then when the revelations are handed out and the abundance of the revelation made known, they wonder why they're struggling and struggling and struggling. That's the reason for some of them, because God is not going to bless you. We want more and more and more and more. He's not going to give you more and more until he sees how you're dealing with what you got. Praise the Lord. Why in the world would the Lord give some of you all a 10,000 square foot house and a 75 acre ranch and 350 head of cattle, 425 head of sheep, 1,013 and 35 Angus, and all this other stuff, and you don't even take care of your 2-bedroom house and keep your grass cut? You don't even appreciate that little hut on the side of the road, and you want more. God looks at the way we treat what we've got. Oh, I want a BMW. I want a Mercedes. How you treating the Volkswagen you drive to church? Well, what in the world am I doing on this? We want more and more and more. When we don't take care of what we got, what are we telling God? God, I don't appreciate my house. I don't appreciate my car. I don't appreciate my truck. You give me a better and I'll appreciate it. That ain't the way God works. God works on appreciation first. Well, thank you, Jesus. Brother Terry, if that was for you, buddy, that's yours. It's all yours and you're welcome. Thank you. Now, watch this. God says, I will scatter them into the corners. I will make the remembrance of them to cease from among them. Now, what a contrast that this is in comparison to God said that I would give them a name, that I would make Abraham the father of many nations, and all the nations would be blessed because of him and his seed. But prophetically, the bounds of that promise can only go as far as the believers of that age will allow it to go. Now, can you imagine there's going to be areas and portions of the world to where the name of Israel would die down. The name of Moses, the name of Abraham, as far as coming through Isaac. And what happened? The name of Moses through Ishmael would be exalted. Why? Because those that were the descendants of the true line walked away from the word, and what grew? The Ishmaelites and those that come up through the Arabs on the other side of Moses' line or Abraham's line, and what they do, they begin to exalt Abraham and they begin to exalt Moses when it should have been the Jews doing it. I'll tell you one thing, Happy Valley, if we won't praise God, God will cause these rocks and these mountains to praise him. If we're not going to magnify the name of God, the prophet of God said he can bring in alley rats and save them. He can bring in prostitutes and do whatever more. I don't want no rock crying out mouse place to you. I don't want somebody coming in. No, sir, I ain't going to do it. I want everything God's got for me. Notice in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 33, this has already been set forth prophetically by God. I will scatter you among the heathen and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Ordained by God, predestinated by God, or God wanted it to be this way, their choice for it to be this way. Now this is what God tells them. If you choose this, I'm telling you these are the consequences. If you stay true with me, there'll never be a people like you on the earth. Nobody. Nobody will ever surpass you. You'll be blessed coming and going. I'll bless your basket. I'll bless your womb. I'll bless you coming in. I'll bless you going out. I'll bless the field. I'll bless the seed. I'll bless your water. I'll give you latter rain. I'll give you former rain. I'll give you absolutely everything that you ever need. But the choice choice is totally up to you. And what did they do? Like you and I do sometimes. They chose this way. They chose for their name to nearly be blotted out. They chose to be drove in every nation of the earth. That's the reason they are where they are today. And we look and think, boy, the poor old Jews. Poor old Jews. Sure, I feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for their ignorance because they brought it on themselves. Well, praise the Lord. You and I do some of the same things. Well, you might as well say amen. If you can't say that, say out. So at least I know you're with me. Watch. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 27. The Lord shall scatter you among the nations. And you shall be left few in number. Going from a multitude. Notice what God told Abraham. Count the stars if you can. Count the sands of the sea. This is your seed. That was the election. That was ordination. That was the predestinated plan of God. Oh my. There's not just a predestinated seed. There's a predestinated path. There's a predestinated journey. And it's up to you, my brother, sister. What you want out of this life is being a child of God. God said to Abraham, count the stars, count the dust, this is what's yours. But now God's telling him, you'll be so few, I'll kill you, I'll chase you. Why? Free moral agency. I want to do this, bless God, and I want to do that. You see, the predestinated seed in a person's heart wants one thing, God's will and God's word. Well, thank you, Jesus. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 64. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from one end of the heaven unto the other. And there shalt thou serve other gods. Now, was this ordained? Did God predestinate this? Absolutely not. He is simply foretelling what they will do. This is not his plan. Well, God ordained me to backslide so I can learn how to appreciate him more. Where did you get that trash at? My, we think grace is so wonderful to forgive us. I think grace is even more wonderful when it can stop you from doing something. A lot of folks get this in their mind that, my, you know, they have to have grace and grace to cause all the time forgiving. I believe a child of God can walk in such harmony with God. The Spirit of God will actually stop us from doing wrong. The more we're surrendered, oh my, well, I have to repent constantly every day, and oh, I've got to do this wrong and that wrong. It shouldn't be that way. There's nothing in the Word that says you've got to sin so much that the grace of God can be displayed in your life. I believe we can live such a life in the presence of God that the Holy Ghost is going into Walmart and the devil lay a trap for you. Don't go that way, go this way. Don't do this, do that, do that. You say, oh my goodness, how wonderful that is. Instead of saying, well, I fell into a trap and the Lord forgive me. Well, I fell into another trap and the Lord forgive me. I fell into another trap. Boy, sound like to me, you're living in a trap, ain't you? What about them children? What about these young boys and young women and older women as well and men that can stand and say, by the grace of God, the Holy Ghost spared me of a terrible mistake. The Holy Ghost led me out of a trap the devil laid for my life. My. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 16, I will scatter them also among the heathen, whom neither they nor their fathers have known. I will send a sword after them till I have consumed them. Lord, children, how sad. How sad. Jeremiah 18, 17, I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face. You see what God's saying? I will cause you to run from your enemies. Your enemies will not see your face. They will see your back. Because you'll be so afraid of them. You'll be cowards. They won't see you face to face. They'll never have the joy of cutting your head off. Because you ain't going to stand and face them. You'll constantly be running from them. Is this what God ordained? Is this just what a loving father wanted his nation to have? Absolutely not. He wanted them to possess every gate of the enemy. And now God is telling them, you'll come to a spot, you'll be so weak, you'll be so puny spiritually, you won't even have strength to face your enemies. You'll run from them like cowards. Lord Jesus, help us. I hate to say it, children, but there's folks in the message exactly the same way as this.
They can't face their enemy. They can't face lust. They can't face alcohol. They can't face cigarettes. They can't face drug addiction. They can't face all kinds of things. They got to run from them. They're so bound in their lives. Is that what God wanted us to have? Absolutely not. Oh my, the scripture says this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask what you will and it'll be done. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What makes it then when we flee from our enemies and they don't even see our face? There's something wrong with us, not God. Notice Hosea 6:1. Those of you that are familiar with the message, recognize your daddy's message. This is the scripture that the Lord showed Brother Branham. Come and let us return unto the Lord. He hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days, now remember this is prophetic days, 1,000 year increments. After 2 days, will he revive us or give us a revival? In the third day. In the third day. Glory. Notice after 2,000 years, he will start moving us. In 1948, praise the Lord, after 2,000 years, in the third day, the third 1,000 year increment, which is where we are right now, glory, then what's God going to do in the third day? He will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Oh, thank the Lord. Now, you know, it would be so sad if we did not have prophecies such as this. Is it what all God, I'm scattering you here. I'll blast your name out over there. I'll do this and that. But remember, God said there is an election of Israel, the election of grace, and they are a remnant there. I don't know who they are, but God knows who they are. They've lost their genealogy. They don't know what tribe they belong to, but God knows what tribe they belong to because their name has already been written down. And praise God, they'll receive the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. We must be getting close somewhere. Notice back to this scripture, Deuteronomy 32:26. I said I would scatter them into corners. I will make the remembrance of them. You see, this is what the Amalekites, the Hittites, let's just bring it all down to the modern day. This is what the Arabs would love to do in this day. This is what Iran would love to do. They would love to blow Israel off of the map. They'd love to get rid of every Jew, but they'll never be able to do it. I don't care how many missiles they've got. I don't care if they can be best friends with Putin. Putin can come down there and live next door to them, but God's word will not allow them to do it. Why? He will bring a revival. Glory. Moses and Elijah's going to come back and they're going to hear the voice of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Notice in verse 27, and find another one of these peculiar verses in scripture. Were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy. You imagine God allowing his character to be represented in such a way. This is God continuing to talk. Were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely. God's afraid? Look at the word fear. Now it means to stir up trouble. It don't mean God. Listen how God allows himself to be portrayed in scripture so that humans will be able to relate to him. Now God ain't afraid of nobody. He ain't never felt fear as far as the eternal. You understand what I'm saying? He don't understand. He don't relate to fear in the way we do, but he wanted to have this written by Moses in a way that the people, the children of Israel, would be able to comprehend it. Notice how he says it. Were it not that I fear. Now this verse is Yahweh. And what he's saying is, notice as he goes on to say this, were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, or that I dreaded the taunting of the enemy, that I know the enemy, if I destroy you, I know what they're going to say. They're going to say he was not big enough to keep them after he got them out. I know what they're going to do. No, you imagine God saying this now like somebody saying, now, I would do so-and-so, but I'm afraid you'll talk about me if I do it that way. And I mean, that sounds like us, don't it? And God allowed his own character to be displayed in such a way that he said that it was the taunting of the enemy, because I know your enemies and I know they hate you. And I know what they will say. I know what they will do. Oh, my. Worry not that I fear the wrath of your enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely. Isn't it amazing? Now, God is going to quote their enemy. And lest they should say, our hand is high, and the Lord hath not done all this. Now, God said, I'm not going to do it, and this is one of the reasons I ain't going to do it. It's because your enemies, they'll say, well, it wasn't the Lord that done it anyhow. We're the ones that destroyed them. After all, where is their God? Apparently, he ain't too big of a God. So God said, I'm going to defend my own character. I'm going to defend my own name. I know what they'll say. That makes me very happy, because there's been some times that I didn't really need deliverance. I wasn't fit for deliverance. But God, for his own sake, delivered me, because he wasn't going to let his name be brought down in the mud. Oh my, for they are a nation void of counsel. You're kidding me. The most taught people of God? Never a nation had as many prophets. How many did Nineveh have in their history that we know of? One. How many prophets did Sodom and Gomorrah ever get? None. How many of the nations around the world got no prophets at all? And Israel got one after another, after another, after another. And yet God says they are void of counsel. So it wasn't that counsel wasn't there, but they chose not to take it. We're not going to do it. I don't care what you say. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Bless God, I'll tell you one thing. This is my land, and God gave me this land. I don't have to live it the way you say. Sounds like folks today, don't. Neither is there any understanding. Oh my goodness. So God complains of Israel's ignorance. But it was willful ignorance. Whew. Proverbs 22:3 says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. The reason for their plight is going to be their own lack of wisdom and the prudence to apply what God said. Our nation one day will be destroyed. The earthquake will get a great portion of it. The tsunami will take more. And what's left, the bomb will finish. Because God ordained it thus. Because our Americans are proud and haughty, and they would not listen to a vindicated prophet of God. It's not God's fault. It's America's fault. Oh Lord, help us. Oh, that they were wise, he says in verse 29, that they understood this. That they would consider their latter end. Oh, that they were wise. Oh, listen to this, that they understood this. That they would consider their latter end. If they would only look. And friend, we know this is the way it is many times in the Word of God. That God gives certain promises. If you do this, I do this. If you don't do this, I'll do that. And whenever people break over and start doing things that's not right, they begin to compromise in their home and in their life and doing things. It doesn't mean judgment comes immediately. It doesn't mean their house falls in. Or my, you know, the wheels fall off all the car and the cows all dead, chickens all have dry rot. My goodness, ain't got nothing to say. Oh Lord, have mercy. What in the world's going on? It may go for weeks or months or years. It may go for a long time before they start seeing the hand of God go to whipping them, and they think, well, I'm okay. I'm all right. You know your latter end by watching what the scripture says. And if the scripture says, if we leave the word, this will be our end. This will be our end. No matter how long it takes to arrive. Notice in verse 30, how should one chase 1,000 and 2 put 10,000 to flight except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? You're talking about a song of paradox. God shows their greatness and their littleness. God shows their highness and their lowness. God shows their humility when he called them, and he shows their exalted self when they come up to get this judgment. Now God takes a promise that was given to them and reverses it prophetically. Notice how God is placing this. How should one chase a thousand? Now this is not Jews chasing their enemy, but it's one of their enemy chasing a thousand Jews. And two put 10,000. So here, two of their enemies, Germans or Italians or whatever more, chasing 10,000 Jews. How could that be? God answers his own question. Except their rock had sold them. So their rock sold them. The chosen people of God. The seed of Abraham. Was he selling out their election? Not their election. Their choice, the way they choose to live. You see, if they had not forgotten their rock, one of them would chase 1,000. And two of them would chase 10,000. But now it's exact opposite. They can no longer stand before their enemies. Can you imagine? If Israel would have been living right and doing what God wanted them to do, Adolf Hitler and the entire world could have never slayed 6 of them, much less 6 million. But what happened? Their God sold them. Sold them into slavery. Sold them into death. Sold them into bondage. Lord, children, don't you understand that whenever we receive the blessing of the high hand of God, with it comes such penalty when we walk away and don't obey him. But Brother Donnie, you're preaching about us being elect. That's who these people were too. There is a way for elect to walk. We can't live any way we want to live. God demands more of us. Oh my. Notice God asked this question, how should one chase 1,000? Now just apply this to yourself. Look at your walk. Does this good every now and then to check up? Reevaluate. Look at our priorities. Look where we are. Do you find yourself running from your enemies? Or you find your enemies running from you? Do you find more and more you're defeated? You ain't got joy. Ain't got peace that some of you had 4, 5, 6 years ago, whatever more. Oh, my Lord, I must have struck a chord. Either that or I'm fixing to get my last check from here. I'm going to be looking for a job tomorrow, huh? It's serious, friends. Well, if something has happened to reverse the order of you being able to chase 1,000 and your wife 10,000, and instead, two enemies out there is chasing 10,000 of us message folks, could it be our rock has sold us? Well, praise the Lord. I know this is so contrasting to the weekend, but you just have to talk it over with my boss. I just try to follow orders. Now watch. In Leviticus chapter 26, verse 8. 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemy shall fall before you by the sword. Now this prophecy, this predestinated portion of their inheritance has now been turned around. This is what God wanted for them. But he ain't going to make it happen. This is where footprints means possession. How much do you read your Bible, listen to tapes, have God on your mind, walk in the Spirit, or are we so caught up with this and that and the other? Praise the Lord. And then our enemies, mama, used to Satan have to send a whole battalion to knock you down. Now all he's got to do is send one demon that's left over from some child of God. He's got one eye and he barely can move around like this. And he said, you're enough. Go over and wear him out. He just comes over and kind of hits on you. Yoo-hoo! And used to a whole battalion of them would scare to death as soon as you get down on your knees to pray. You'd pick up your Bible and them demons would run like roaches in the night when the light is turned on because it's in such harmony with God. Because they knew when you pick up that word, Father would go to speaking to you. Now you can have tapes going everywhere, music going everywhere, and seem like you don't get nothing. You come to church, you don't get nothing. You listen to a tape, you don't get nothing. You got the message on your phone, the message on your iPad, the message on this, that, and the other. We need it more down on the iSoul than we do the iPad. Praise the Lord. And what will it do? It will turn into victories in our lives. I don't want to just hear you folks talk about I love this and I love that. I want to see the victory of the Lord Jesus living out of us, men, women, boys, and girls. This is the testimony of our strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 7, the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and they shall flee before thee seven ways. They'll come at you from the east. But once they do, they'll realize they've made the most terrible mistake of their life. They'll be going every way from Sunday. They'll be running for their lives to get away from you. This was God's ordained promise. But free moral agency chose to settle well. We're Abraham's people. We follow the prophet of God. We say what he said. Brother Bam said, that's just been able to read. What difference does it make to say what he said? There ain't a devil in hell that can't outquote every one of us. But there's one thing you can do. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you can outlive him. The devil can quote it, but he can't live what he's quoting. I don't only quote it, I live what I quote. Because I'm quoting who and what I am. Praise the Lord. What turned this around? Joshua 23:10. One man of you shall chase a thousand. For the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. But now as this prophecy moves on from the song, there will come a time in their life, their enemies will laugh at them. They'll make fun of them and ridicule them. Because God ordained it thus, because they wanted it that way. Oh, they didn't want these consequences. But they didn't want to live the kind of word to produce a victorious type of life. How many wants a victorious life? How many wants to live the kind of life to bring it to you? What I figured, not near as many hands. Then what do you do? A son or daughter of God that loves God going to be there? Yes, sir. But you settle for less. And in time we convince ourselves because we rock ourselves to sleep. We're in Laodicea. We can't help it. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I've got to do. And all of our got to do's become overwhelming to us. Well, thank you, Jesus. Oh, my. Notice this. How could God... Let's go back and look at verse 30 again now. How shall one chase a thousand? How shall two put 10,000 to flight? Except their rock. Their rock. So that... Why would their rock... sell them. Because they sold him first. Now, you and I may come in spots in our life where we feel like God's forsaken us, but we know that's absolutely contrary to his word. He will never leave us. We've left him many times. But he will never leave us. Watch in Isaiah 52:3. For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught. You've sold yourselves. What did they do when they began to worship these gods of these heathens? They were selling out their all-powerful, omnipotent, almighty God for a statue. Amen. And then they played the harlot and sold themselves. Oh, my. And the Lord had shut them up. You imagine now, here's the enemy chasing them. And God actually puts a net around the Israelites. And says, here... I'll make it easier for you to kill them. As I said before, children, let every one of you turn against me. Let every preacher friend I know in the message. Let every human being on the earth turn against me till every mortal on the earth is looking for me to take my life. I'd rather have all them odds against me than for him to turn against me. Because if he's on my side, if every mortal on the earth, some 7 billion of them, are out to get me, if it ain't my time to go, I ain't going nowhere. But if he's against me, there ain't enough of you to hide me. There ain't enough of you to keep me back. Oh, my. Oh, my. Notice in Deuteronomy 32, 31, for their rock is not our rock. Even our enemies themselves being judges. Now listen, who was their rock? God. Of course, notice how that he instructs Moses to write this. A man's God is the rock of his being. Listen. A man or woman, boy or girl, a man or woman, boy or girl, their God is their rock. It is the stability of their being. If it's politics, if it's money, if it's education, whatever more, whatever stabilizes them. What they run to in distress, if it's a medication, then that's their rock. That's why they go to pieces when they can't get it. If it's cigarettes, they've got to have it. If it's alcohol, that's their rock. Say, why do some people drink? That's their rock. And without that inside of them, they cannot stand the things of life. They cannot stand what's going on in this age. You understand that's true. But what if God is your rock? Oh, hallelujah. What if God is your rock? There is nothing any more stable than the eternal himself. And their rock is not our rock. Glory. Notice this in Deuteronomy 32:4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. 1 Samuel 2:2. There is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. For who, oh glory, 2 Samuel 22:32, who is God save the Lord, who is a rock save our God. 2 Samuel again 23:3, the God of Israel said, the rock of Israel, amen, the rock of Israel speak to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. God himself called himself in relation to his people a rock. That's what he wants to be to you tonight. Psalms 18:2, the Lord is my rock. Listen to me. Don't let your feelings be your rock. Well, I don't feel saved. I don't feel God no more. I don't feel this. I don't feel that. And if that's what is your rock, it'll get you so down and so discouraged, you'll quit going to church. Because your feelings is your rock. If God is your rock, you love him, you go to church, whether you feel him, whether you don't. Come on, children. Brother Donnie, do you always feel him? I sure don't. I wish every day of my life could be like Sunday. Well, I'm not sure if I could live long, very long at that. But I wish I could feel him every day of my life, but I don't. I wish every time I went to pray, I could feel the anointing all over me, but I don't. But what keeps me is not my feelings. It's not even my anointing that God gave me when he called me as a little boy. But what is my stability is the rock of my soul, Christ Jesus. He don't move when I'm up. He don't move when I'm down. He don't move when I'm sick. He don't move when I'm well. He is a mighty rock. Hallelujah. And upon this great rock, I'll sail out of here one of these days. Oh, I love the way David says this. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I reckon he covered everything from here to Walmart and back, didn't he? Amen. Anything David said, I got need of, he is him. Oh, we don't need him plus the world, plus this, plus that. Whatever you need tonight, let God be your rock. Let God be your stability. Oh, thank you, Lord. Psalms 18:31. Who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? I love this verse. Deuteronomy 32:31. For their rock is not as our rock. Even our enemies themselves being judges. God loves it when his children testifies of his greatness. God loves it when he delivers his children and they turn it up. Testimony, they place it by paper up here or on Facebook or however it is you do it. Oh, God loves to hear it. But God loves to hear his enemies testify as well. You got a few minutes to hear a few of them. Exodus chapter 14, verse 24. And it came to pass in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the hosts of the Egyptians. Isn't it amazing? The Lord looked through the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud and brought trouble to one bunch. He looked through the same pillar of fire and pillar of cloud and looked at another bunch and brought grace. He looked through that pillar of cloud and brought mercy and brought man and brought water and brought Christ and brought a prophet. And he looked through that same thing and brought judgment to another bunch. Oh, notice what the Lord does. So he looks through the pillar of fire and cloud and troubled the host of the Egyptians and took off their chariot wheels. Now this is a bad situation because of the location. They're in the middle of the Red Sea and the water is walled up on both sides. And they've only got a few minutes to get out of there because this thing is fixing to happen. And what does God do? God looks through down through that pillar of fire and he causes tires and wheels to go flying off everywhere. God went to taking off the chariot wheels. My Lord Jesus. And took off their chariot wheels, and they that drave them heavily saw the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. Our rock is not like their rock, and our enemies must testify so. Joshua chapter 2 verse 8, Rahab speaking, and before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land and that your terror is fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. You imagine them old boys down there trying to check out the city, and God had this predestinated seed to preach them a revival. Now, we don't believe in women preachers, of course. She's testifying the grace of God. She's telling them something they didn't know. They had not heard this part. Joshua hadn't said this. They did not know this. But here is this woman down there, and she's telling them, let me tell you all what's going on down here. You don't understand it. You don't understand what your presence is doing here. You don't understand what's going on. All the devils out of hell is afraid of you. Your terror has come upon them. They know if you say who you are, it will be another reproduction of that original church. Your terror has come upon them. Your terror has fallen upon us. All the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. You imagine them old boys looking around and saying, really? Usins? I mean, just usins? Yeah, I mean, woman, are you telling us the truth? I'm telling you, it's that way. You remember that lying devil, what he told them 40 years prior to this? He told them they should be the ones to be afraid. What was he doing? Turning right around the truth. He does the same thing to me and you. You better be afraid of politics. Boy, you better watch this. We better watch the Word of God. That's what we're going to watch. Well, Brother Donnie, we better be afraid of the devil. I differ with you. The devil better be afraid of us. Not us as human beings, but us in the body of God. Oh my. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, which was 40 years ago. 40 years ago, and she's still testifying and just talking amongst them unbelievers. Still chills up their back. You imagine them sitting around talking about that, and every one of their arms looked like porcupine. Them men, them hairy looking arms, them hairs stood straight out on their arms. They're saying, Lord, what a God. What a God that must be. This is what God said. He will make you my enemies. He'll make his enemies praise him. Let people laugh. Let them ridicule. God will make the enemies of this message testify. And he's doing it already. YouTube is plastered with Episcopalians and Presbyterians and Pentecostals and whatever more. Acknowledging, oh my, acknowledging this prophet. And none of them ever had a gift like him. Let the others say what they want to say on their little old websites, and got 300 views. And then you look over here and Jim Baker said what he did a while back, public international television, telling of the 7 visions of Brother Branham and reading them out. Thousands more saw that in one day than everybody saw the Believe the Sign and all the rest of that in years. You ain't fighting this battle against Donnie Reagan and Tim Pruitt and the Branhams. You ain't fighting this against the Smiths and the Horns. This is a battle against Almighty God and His truth. Amen. Oh my, His truth is still marching on tonight. Amen. Glory to God. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you come out of Egypt. And what you did to the 2 kings of the Amorites on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you earlier destroyed 40 years ago. Amen. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage. This ain't just a predestinated seed saying this. She's speaking on behalf of the rest of the denominations. They're not coming out and telling you, but they're scared to death of y'all too. Neither do there remain any courage in any man, because your God and his angels and the great angelic choir. You see when children walk in their place. You see when a church walks in its place, Brother Jim. A man and his wife and their children. This is the report down in hell. Amen. This is why they fight so desperately to get you out of your place. Break your walk with God. Break your spirituality in your home. And then you go to running from your enemies. Lord, speak to us tonight, Father. Neither there remain any courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God. Where did she hear this name? It was sacred. This name was sacred. You look on any true Jewish website to this very day and look where they spell God and see how they spell it. G-D. Out of respect, they will not write the full name God. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and they wouldn't even pronounce it. They would say, bless his name. Lest it would become vain to them. Where did she hear this word? Who told? Oh Lord, we don't go back to Sunday now. Look at this spelling, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital A. The Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. And she was a heathen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What was it, friends? The power of God among them. And where was Moses? By this time, when this happens in Joshua, the prophet's already gone off the scene. But God is in the body. God is still moving in the body. Oh, come on now. Don't you get tired on me when I say this. Sure, we thank God for our prophet and we're so grateful God sent him. We would not be where we are tonight had it not been for him. But God is still in the body. And we're not looking for an eighth day messenger or a seven and a half day messenger. We've done God all the prophets that we need. Come on, children. Major voice prophets, but God is still in the body. It ought to be in every church that's full of the Holy Ghost that our terror is known down in hell. By the way we live and the way we walk, that even people we work with, that they have such confidence in our prayers, whether they understand our doctrine or not, that they say, "Will you have your church to pray for me? Will you have your church to pray for my baby?" Why? They know there's something about the terror of the bride. Oh, glory to God. There's something about that omnipotent presence of Him. You don't have to be a preacher, just a child of God filled with the Holy Ghost walking in your spot. First Samuel chapter 5 verse 6. Let me go just a few more minutes, can I? The hand of the Lord was heavy upon them of Ashdod, and He destroyed them and smote them with emerods, even Ashdod and the coast thereof. And when the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, "The ark of the God of Israel shall not abide with us, for His hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon, our God." And you see, they brought the ark of God in before Dagon, and oh man, Dagon had delivered the ark of God, they thought. And boy, they're gonna make the ark of God sit there in humiliation to Dagon. So they bring it before Dagon, and they come in the next morning, and old Dagon's lying down on his face. So they thought, "Wow, that's strange. Must have been a strong north wind come through here." So they put it back up the next day, and they come back down there again, and old Dagon's still on his face. After the third day, after they got afflicted in their bodies, and I mean they're suffering big time, emeralds as hemorrhoids. They must have had super bad cases of them. Well. Then what do? They recognize and say, "You know what? This God is there." I mean, Brother Bram said that's the hottest thing they ever had on their hands. They said, "We don't want nothing to do with this ark. Let's send this thing back to where it belongs." Ain't it amazing? When it was among the children of Israel, it never done that. It didn't bring disease. It brought healing. Oh, hallelujah. When the ark of God was among the elect, it brought miracles and healing and deliverance. And the very same ark among the unbelievers brought pestilence. "The ark of the God of Israel shall not abide with us, for His hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon, our God." We can't allow our God Dagon to be down on his face now. So we're going to send this God back home where he belongs. We'll send him on back. We're waiting for him. Let me tell you one thing. God will make this Laodicean Jezebel God of this evil age bow down to. He don't fit out there in them denominations. They don't want him. That's all right. We got a place for him right here. Every church in this country that don't want the Lord Jesus, let him take that same portion and pour it out on us. Ain't that right? You don't want him in holiness. You don't want him in righteousness. We'll make room for him right here. They sent therefore and gathered all the lords of the Philistines unto them and said, "What shall we do with the ark of God of Israel?" They answered, "Let the ark of the God of Israel be carried about unto Gath." And they carried the ark of God, the God of Israel, about thither. Said, "This thing's too hot to handle. We got to get rid of it." Let me just read. A group of three witnesses. We'll pick it up next time, Lord willing. But let me see if I can gather at least three testimonies. Witnesses that had at least a partial acquaintance with our Lord Jesus. Pilate said, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person." The word rendered "just person" was used by Plato in characterizing the ideal man. The centurion said, who had charge of the crucifixion of Jesus, "Truly this man was the Son of God." Judas said, I have betrayed innocent blood. Oh, I got to read a couple more. Let's go up to the post-apostolic period. Josephus, the Jewish historian who wrote in the first century of the Christian era. In his Antiquities, he says, about this time lived Jesus, a wise man, if it be proper to call him a man. Glory. Hallelujah. For he was a doer of wonderful works. He was a teacher of such men as received the truth. He was called the Christ. And when Pilate, at the instigation of our principal men, had condemned him to the cross, those who had loved him did not forsake him, and he appeared unto them alive again on the third day. Josephus, one of the enemies of Christianity, testifying of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Glory to God. He appeared to them alive again on the third day. The prophets of old, having foretold these and many other wonderful things concerning him, and the sect of Christians so named after him is not extinct unto this day. And Mr. Josephus, let me just let you know, here we are 2,000 years later, and sitting right in this building tonight and around the world is the exact same type of Christians that you were writing about them, because our faith has been restored back to the original apostolic fathers. No, sir, we have not died. We are still alive and well. Celsus, a Greek philosopher of the second century who wrote vigorously against the sect of the Galileans, he quotes liberally from the New Testament and concedes the genuineness of the miracles of Christ. Julian, the apostate emperor of the 4th century, was a bitter enemy of Christianity. In a campaign against the Persians, he fell, pierced with a spear, clutching the dust in his agony. He cried, Galilean, thou hast conquered. He says, Jesus, having persuaded a few of the baser sort of Galileans to attach themselves to him, has now been celebrated about 300 years. He did nothing in his lifetime worthy of fame unless it was counted a great work to heal lame and blind people and exorcise demonics. A splendid tribute to this benefit work of Christ. What's God doing? Making his enemies testify. One of these days, my friends, when them faults begin to line up out yonder, God will make these folks who've pulled away from this message. They'll be some of the first ones to realize it, if they're alive after it happens. Wonder how many more will pull up and search and say, wait a minute, didn't William Branham say something about that? Over and over and over again. I don't plan on waiting until then. I'm going to testify now. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. Spinoza, referred to as the father of modern Platonism, he did not believe in the personality of God, but regarded him as an all-pervading something with attributes of extension and thought. As to this God, however, he says, Jesus Christ was the temple. In him, God most fully revealed himself. It's quite something to say for somebody that don't believe in God. Glory. Glory. Let me jump over here and read Napoleon. Napoleon says on one occasion during his exile, Genesis Bertrand said to him, I cannot conceive, sire, how a great man like you could believe that a supreme being could exhibit himself to man in human guise. Napoleon answered, I know men, and I tell you, Jesus Christ was not a man. Hallelujah. God will make his enemy. But for me, I want my life every day that I live to bring praise and honor. I ain't waiting for the earthquake because I figure I'll be gone anyhow. I ain't waiting on an earthquake to bring me close to God. I'll tell you one thing, if this earthquake's any more than it did on Sunday, it's... I'm having earthquakes already. I don't know about you all. Oh, glory. The move is on, brother, sister. The move is on. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Please, friends, please. May this never be said about us. May this never be said about our church. May it never be said about you as an individual. That God wanted you to be filled with the Holy Ghost and so in love with Him and on fire. And that's what you were years ago. And then look at you today. Still going to church. Oh, you haven't lost your profession being a Christian. But are you really, every one of you know whether or not you have that intimate place with the Lord Jesus? When it comes right down to it, that's where you and Him really meet anyway. Reading your Bible in front of other people and singing songs and discussing doctrines. A lot of that is a facade that people put on. I always listen when people get up here to pray. If I've got the speaker on back there, I can generally pretty well tell if they talk to Him regularly. They just talk to Him up here like they do any other place. They don't search for these and thous and trying to impress you and trying to bring all this and that and the other. They just talk to Him. That's one thing I love about Brother Branham. When I first came to the message years ago, I would listen to the tapes of the sermons, and then I would listen to the prayer, rewind it, listen to it again, rewind it, listen to it again, because I had never heard a man talk to God quite like that before. It just done something to me, Brother Jerry. It made me realize that He viewed him in a way that I had never viewed him before. And that all the proteges that I had and all the preachers and all this, that, and other, they talked to him different because they knew him different. And it so created a hunger in my heart to be able to know him in a greater way. Now, maybe the message didn't do that for you. I pray that it will, because to me, that's what I see that this message is about. It's not to produce a bunch of people that just follows Brother Branham or Donnie Reagan or Tim Pruitt. It's to produce folks that are like Christ Jesus. Amen. To bring us closer to God. May every one of you, whatever God gives you, your personal spiritual tract of land, your property begins on a certain hill. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. Then you'll turn right at that cross, and you'll go down and you'll make a right straight toward 40 days on down at Pentecost. And there you'll receive your baptism. Then you'll make another corner and you'll come on down through there and you'll live a godly life. You'll be tried. You'll be tested. God, may God totally give you the boundaries, your stones, your rocks, the perimeter of your land. May you walk it over and over again. Well, you get it immediately when you get the Holy Ghost. You get the title immediately. But it don't mean that you have footprints all over it immediately. But He wants you to. You can have 500 acres. You can sit there on the front porch. I want you to look at this. I want you to look at that. Ain't that beautiful? Now, myself, I've never actually been over there. But they tell me there's a creek over on my property. Now, somebody told me one time that they went over there and that there's a gigantic big old black walnut tree over there. And the squirrels get over and cut. And they say right up from there on the north side, there's a slope, that rolling hills. And now they tell me, I ain't been there, but they tell me in March, it's covered with daffodils. And they say, I mean, I don't know, but they tell me on my property, it's some of the most beautiful bluegrass you've ever seen in your life. But now for me, I've just, all I've ever known is this front porch. I just feel safe in the arms of this rocking chair. I don't say it to hurt your feelings, but I do say it to shame you. If you've got creeks on your property and you ain't never seen them. I wonder if some of y'all ain't got fountains of living water that's just springing up. And it's actually what you're missing right now in your walk with God. And you know there's something missing. Well, God, what's the matter with me? God, what in the world's the matter with me? It's in your property. It's on your own property. But what you'll do, you'll come up here and get me to pray for you that God will give you what's already on your property. You get these prayers. Pray for me that I'll do this, and pray for me. And some of the things you folks ask for prayer for, God ain't going to get give it by prayer. You're going to have to take it. Now, to ask for strength for it, that's one thing. But to tell me and these other brothers to pray for you that God will just pour it out on you, He ain't going to do it, friends. You're going to have to fight to get what is yours. And then you'll have to fight to keep it. My! Think of what lays on our property. Think what lays there. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father. I'm sure there's places in my inheritance that I've not traversed yet. I'm sure there's spots that still await me, Lord. I know where Carol and I live there, Father. We bought those two lots there several years ago. I got out when I bought it from the man before I bought it, and he went with me, and we walked down the borders of it, and he showed me where the corners were. And it's not really that big at all. But I have not walked the whole thing. I wonder, some of these people here, they may own a few acres, and they probably not traverse the whole thing. But yet, Lord, spiritually, I wonder if we could take it in our minds tonight and think, what lays before us? What is ours? But we're just so happy sitting on the front porch rocking. And we rock back and forth and back and forth. And we're so comfortable. And then we just go to sleep and take a nap. And then we wake up a little bit. And we go in the house, get a little something to eat, and come back out and sit on the porch. And we rock again. And oh, we're just so happy to be front porch rocking Christians. And all these great things lay before us. Oh, there might be snakes out there. There might be dangers. Who knows? There might be bees. There might be yellow jackets out there. Who knows what we'll run into? Lord, I pray you'd help us. Each one of us, men, women, boys, and girls. Maybe some of them, Lord, a few years ago, they traversed their property. They walked with you in a place. But now they found themselves, Lord, in such a state, a slump. They're just happy rocking, Lord. They're not where they should be, and they know it in their heart. And yet the devil has got them in such a fix in their time that they don't know what to do. I don't know that I'll ever forget that sermon that you gave us years ago, Lord, on the bondage of time. Probably do us all good to go back and hear it again. I'm sure that we'd find it's very current for the time we're living. Help us, Lord. Many of these people may find themselves in a situation that they cannot get out of. And this is one thing I love about you. You don't just help us out of bad situations when you lead us in them, but you help us out of bad situations when we in our stupidity get in them ourselves. Abraham went down there in the land of Egypt on his own. His free moral agency allowed him, and you didn't stop him. He could choose it if that's what he wanted to do. It's up to him. He backslid. But you and your grace, when he got in such a desperate situation, you didn't tell him, you got yourself in here, now get yourself out. But you and your grace stepped in and helped him. He wasn't deserving of it. He wasn't worthy of it. But your love overrode his worthiness. Some of your children, some of the children of Abraham, are standing here in this place tonight, maybe streaming the service. Maybe they've got their self in a fix. They don't know what to do, which way to turn. They're in a mess financially, in a mess on their job, maybe in their marriage, their home, whatever more. They don't know the answer. They don't know the way out. And they're beating themselves to death, and the devil is just wearing them out. You've done it. You've got to pay this. You're not fit. You're not worthy. But Lord, we want to look to the God of Abraham tonight, who still delivers his children out of Egypt. You not only did it when he went to Egypt, but you did it when he went to the land of the Philistines. When Isaac went to the land of the Philistines, you done the same thing. Lord, I pray you'd help your children tonight, Lord. We love you, Father, with all of our hearts. Praise God. Oh, Lord Jesus. Somehow or another, I just feel like there'd be too many for me to be able to lay hands on every one of you. That you'd like
more of your property back. You'd like that full deed, that full title. So instead of just asking for those who need prayer to come up, I'd like for all of those of you that the Spirit of God has spoke to your heart tonight. And I know there's too many of us for the altar itself. I understand that. But sometimes it's just you moving and getting out of your comfort zone and putting forth a little beyond ordinary effort. Would you just walk up here tonight, stand around the altar, and signify, Lord, I want my property back. I want my land. Or maybe you say, I've got land, I ain't never been on it. Lord, I want it. It's mine. It's in my name. Belongs to me and my wife and her children. We want it, Lord. Hallelujah. If the centurion could say, true to this was the Son of God, can't we say it even more emphatic? If Judas could say and call that he was innocent, surely we can say, innocent of any wrongdoing, innocent of any shortfalls, innocent of ever treating you anything but good all of your life. Then what is our report of him tonight? Let me add my word to Pilate. Let me add my word. Anybody in here want to add their word along with it? Let me say more than the centurion said. He wasn't just the Son of God. He was God. He was the Almighty, Eternal. He wasn't just innocent blood, Judas. He was the first, the last, the Alpha, the Omega. Not only that, he is my friend, my Redeemer, my Lord, my King. Hallelujah. Would you just turn and lay hands on one another there if you would? If it's a sister standing by brother and you wouldn't feel comfortable laying your hand on and you could move around their sisters or brothers. Lord, children, look at all these hundreds of people. All these needs that it represents. As your pastor, if there's any way at all that I could meet your needs, I would before God. But you know I can't. We can't meet one another's. But we're serving a Jesus tonight who has such power. Glory to God. Lord God, we just gather up here, Lord, like a bunch of little children. Because that's what we are. We're your little children. Lord, we want to ask you tonight for your help, Father. We thank you for your great word, Lord, that you sent us in this day. We thank you, Lord, for what you've been speaking to us in the last few weeks. But yet, Lord, it doesn't, those wonderful, great things doesn't do away with preaching like this as well. Because we all sometimes need to hear these things again. I do, Lord. Lord, I've been preaching all these years now. If I lived in July, I'd be 60 years old. 60 years old. Lord, I need a renewing. Oh, Heavenly Father, many hard battles place many deep scars in my life. Oh, Jesus, I want to fall in love with you, Lord, in a deeper way. Lord God, open up to me, Father, everything that's on my land. Lord, I don't want what's titled deed to Brother Terry, to Brother Darrell, to Lance, to any of these other my brothers and sisters here tonight, Lord, but I want what's mine. Lord, I don't want to ask you for more and not use and appreciate what you've given me. Lord, I appreciate every blessing. I appreciate every revelation. Lord, I appreciate the car you let me drive. Lord, the house you let me live in. The clothes you let me wear. The shoes you let me have. I appreciate, Lord, our place to have church. Lord, I appreciate, Lord Jesus, a shelter, heat in the winter and cool in the summer. I want you to know I appreciate all these things, Father. Lord God, I don't take it for granted and think, well, you owe it to me. You don't owe me anything. Lord God, but I do ask tonight, Father, let my land, let my footprints be over every acre of ground that I have, Lord.
May there not be a foot of ground, Lord, when me and Harry was boys and we lived there in Kentucky, we knew them woods there behind the house. Lord, we could go down through the thickets and the briars and the brambles, and we knew every creek, we knew every bluff and every place down through there, Lord, because we run down there every day in the summer when school was out, when it was warm and wasn't raining. We was out there swinging on grapevines and riding go-karts, and we knew it, Lord. Oh, Father, I want to know my land spiritually even better than that, Lord. I want to know what's my rights. I want to know what's my inheritance. And when the devil goes to trespassing against me, Lord, I want to be able to serve him. Notice by the Holy Ghost that he has to leave my property alone. Lord, you see, Father, that there's so much sickness among us, God. And Father, so many folks that are sick still not able to be in church tonight. Lord, we serve notice on that devil that he's trespassing against the people of God. Father, we pray for healing. Lord, maybe some have lost their joy. They've lost their peace. Some, Lord, they don't have that joy bubbling in them no more to go to the house of God. They're just defeated and down, and they just feel so. They know they should. They know they need to come to church, and they feel better when they come, but just seem like they can't put forth the effort. Lord, may they go to digging around on their property and find that well of living water springing up. Hallelujah! May they find that well, Lord, just bubbling up on the inside of them, Father. Father God, maybe some, Lord, the devil's busted up their home, and Lord, contention in among the families or financial things, whatever it is. Lord Jesus, may we not look to this man or that man for the help. The very answer may be on our own property, Lord, if we'll just claim our inheritance back of what belongs to us. Heavenly Father, our healing don't come from the preacher. Our deliverance don't come from the preacher. Our deliverance come from the prophet. So am I, the promise of God that is made to us as individuals. Oh, Jesus, we worship you tonight, Lord. Oh, Lamb of God, may the breath of God come by this place tonight, Lord. May you breathe healing on your children. May you breathe deliverance on your children, Father. May the peace of God come among us, Lord. We love you, dear Jesus. We magnify your name tonight, Lord. Father, maybe some of them ain't got the praise and the worship they used to have. Maybe they get off the porch, Lord, and go to walking around a little bit, and they'll find where they left it. They left their praise. They left their worship. They left their adoration. Oh, praise God. May they find it right here tonight, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I've been hearing it over and over and over again this week by text and phone call and email. Lord, and I've been hearing one word being said over and over again after the service. It was so awesome and so overwhelming that people didn't even know what to say. Didn't even know how to express it. That's the way that I felt, Lord. Oh, Lord, if we can feel it this way in time, what will it be when we get together over yonder, Lord, and we move beyond these bodies and we will get to be with you forever? Lord Jesus, we worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We bless your holy name tonight, Father. Can we just worship him just a little bit, children? Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you find your enemy, sing your back only. Never sing your face. May God change whatever that is in your life tonight. If you find yourself running from your enemies instead of your enemies running from you according to the word of God, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. He will flee from you. That's your promised land. That's your inheritance, saints. The prophet said it this way, a man can live so surrendered to God that the devil don't even know what to do with him. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God bless you, saints. You can make your way back to your seats. Why don't you shake hands with one another as you go? Oh, praise God. Let's sing something here together as we worship him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, you are, Lord Jesus.
Everything he has said, he will do. Every morning, his mercies are new.
They are new.
My Redeemer.
Let's sing it together now. I'll let you go just a minute.
Is faithful and true. Everything
is faithful.
How many can say amen to that? Just give him a wave offering, can we? Yes. Everything he said,
he will.
Oh, hallelujah. Every morning his mercies are new. Yeah. My Redeemer is faithful. God bless you, saints. See you this weekend. You're dismissed. My Redeemer is faithful. Everything he has said, he will do. Every morning,
his mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said he will do. Every morning his mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful. Said he will do. Every morning his mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful.